My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. It's a very odd way to earn an honest crust, but my four colleagues are happy to oblige in the interests of entertainment. John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norden. John, a first question for you, but preceded by a little music. John, slightly apropos that, what did the Princess de Polignac, Elizabeth Sprague Coolidge, and Pauline Viardot do for the benefit of music?
Well, the first two certainly commissioned lots of music from lots of guys.
And the third as well, yes. Assisted, befriended great composers, sponsored them.
That's right.
And so on. Can I just give you some...
I told you the story about Mrs. Coolidge, though, didn't I? Who commissioned Bartok, Roussel, Stravinsky, God knows what. And somebody, a girl, said to her, Mrs. Coolidge, have you ever thought of commissioning art? And she said, my dear, I may be deaf, but I'm not blind.
Well, just to fill in some details, Polignac sponsored Poulenc, Stravinsky, Kurt Weill, Coolidge, Schoenberg, Hindemith in Britain, and Viardot, Gounod, Massenet, and Fauré. This is not bad going. Ladies looking after composers, all for it.
What was that song?
Thank you for asking. It wasn't exactly a song. Poulenc's Gloria. Gloria by Poulenc. Thank you for reminding me, though. Yeah, that was Dennis Norden.
Always see, there is a definite benefit sometimes from having an ignoramus on the top.
You may not answer the questions, but my goodness, you ask them, don't you? Frank, talking of people giving composers a helping hand, who's giving whom a hand here? It takes a long time to get there, doesn't it?
Yeah, somebody's mucking about with a nutcracker suite.
Yes, yeah. Do you know who's doing the mucking about?
No.
Just interest? No. Do you know, John?
No.
No, it was Duke Ellington. It was from his version of the nutcracker suite.
That was good.
Right, yes. Duke called it Tootie Toot Toot Toot. No, sorry, well, Toot Toot Tootie Toot.
What else could he call it?
Ian, a touch of opera for you. You can get double marks by identifying this aria from its first chord.
But that's not an aria. That's
no, it's not that key either. No. Well,
right.
Let's try a bit of the duet that follows.
Beautiful. Mm. And when the singer who has played all evening and sung the part of Don Pasquale, when he hears that beautiful duet, He knows that he listens to it with great pleasure because he knows his main work for the evening is already over, even though he's lost the girl to his nephew.
You should
Nestor.
Know.
I do know, yes.
Donizetti's Don Pasquale. With
Tornami something came
up. That's right. Barbara Hendricks was the lady there. Dennis, can you tell me who these two performers were and perhaps offer a married name for the lady who starts off the song?
Yay, yay, ooh. Yay, yay, ooh. Yay, yay, ooh.
Up on the top of a snow-covered mountain, there lived an alpine miss. And oh, what a sweet little miss was this.
We meet this little Swiss miss.
While down the valley low, little boy who loved her so. And he loved her with all his might. He loved her day and night.
Yes, that I saw Joyce and Lionel Blair do this in a revival. That comes from Lady Be Good.
Yeah.
And presumably because of the hits on the record, it couldn't be anybody but, because I recognised immediately Fred Astaire.
Yes.
And that must have been Adele Astaire. It's infuriating, isn't it? Because she was the attraction in those days.
Yes,
and
yes.
Apparently, by all contemporary accounts, she outshone him.
Mm.
Now, I've always looked upon Fred Astaire as the supreme entertainer of my generation. I've never seen anybody who's better in every way.
Mm.
And she outshone him. And she left the stage to marry into the nobility. You know,
the name?
Lord Charles Cavendish.
Yes, she became Lady Charles Cavendish.
Yes.
That's right, yes. That was in the show Lady Be Good. Or should it be Oh Lady Be Good, Dennis?
Should be Lady Be Good.
Yes, because the song is Oh Lady Be Good.
Yeah.
The show is Lady Be Good, yeah. In 1829, Mendelssohn took the mail coach from Glasgow to Liverpool and wrote to tell his family, one of our coach horns blows in B-flat, another in D, and here we are at Liverpool. 4 years later, John Mendelssohn used those two notes and, having lowered them a semitone, used them for a symphony. Which one? Try them in A. That's right.
Italian Symphony No. 4 in A major, dedicated to the Royal Philharmonic Society.
Yes, that's right.
Two marks. Thank you.
Bonus. Frank Muir. I looked up the surname Muir in a number of reference works. In Who's Who, I found more than a dozen Muirs, including yourself. In a literary Who's Who, there you were again, together with Edwin and John Muir. But in musical encyclopedias, the Muirs are non-existent. Absolutely tacit. Why is this? Is there perhaps some musical Muir we don't know about?
Muir Matheson. There was a. We're not entirely unmusical.
No.
There was we're Lowland Scots, the family Muir, and we were shepherds actually. And there was an ancestor of mine, late in the last century, who'd never lost a lamb in 8 years or something. He was famous for it, and he married a most extraordinary woman. And Sir Walter Scott wrote a novel about her. Which was made into an opera, and it was The Bride of Lammer Muir.
Yeah.
So we are...
the ball at Kiri Muir.
Yeah.
Right.
Give me 5 minutes, Muir.
Ian, Muir, over to you. How good are you on the ballroom floor?
Yeah.
Are you good at that?
I haven't been on the ballroom floor for a very long time.
No.
I used to cut a bit of a dash, yes.
Good.
Yes.
In my dance band pianist days, Ian, the strict ballroom dancing addicts were forever checking our tempos to make sure we were playing at, say, 48 bars a minute or 24 bars a minute. They didn't bother unduly about the music. They just wanted the tempo to be right. Which two ballroom dances might those have been, do you think? 48 bars a minute and 24 bars a minute.
Well, one was obviously faster than the other.
Yes.
So, if it was a crossword clue, I'd say that must be Quick Step for the fast one.
48 bars a minute quick. There's one good tune for hitting exactly the Quick Step tempo, which is... that one, you know. And the other one would be 24.
The Foxtrot?
Yes. Slow Foxtrot, actually.
Slow Foxtrot.
And the tune for that is... we used to play in that plodding fashion for the satisfaction of slow foxtrot dancers.
That's a real do you come here often.
Yes,
tune.
It is.
You did the talking in the quick steps. You didn't waste a slow foxtrot.
Dennis, Irving Berlin, Dennis, wrote a song, as you know, about how he hated to get up in the morning. But there's now a special alarm clock that wakes you up with a tune that you can choose yourself. What tune would you choose to hear at the moment of waking?
I suffer from mood swings, you know. So I would sort of alternate between, depending on... either something like, this is my lovely day, you know, if I'm in the quick step temp feeling, you know, or make the world go away.
There's a machine that, you know, it goes off at the time and it says, wakey, wakey, just like Bill Cotton used to do. And I saw a cartoon not very long ago, a magazine cartoon of a dog in bed. And next to it was a machine saying, walkies, walkies. Right, let's have some beginnings and endings. John, what begins like this? And ends like this. Right.
Concerto number 2 in B flat. Johannes Brahms.
Yes.
Opus 83.
Frank, a sharp ear will tell you what this is. What begins like this? And ends like this.
Started like Stratford-on-Avon. No, Stratford.
No, Stratford East. Stratford East, that's right.
Gentlemen, it's It Was a Lovely
that's
War.
That's right. The film, actually.
Oh, What a Lovely War. Yes,
the opening and closing of the film version of Alf Ralston's took care of the music for it, yeah. Ian, yours is a mite tricky, at least at first. What begins like this? And ends like this. Any idea? No.
No.
Don't know, do you? Recognise the singer?
My John could tell you.
Oh, yes.
Her.
It's one of my very favourite records, this is, actually.
The Lady Scorer and...
and Nightingale.
I'll have to tell you, it's the La Mahaille Rue Signor, the Maiden and the Nightingale, by Granados, from Goyescus.
By Victoria's
Isis. Yes.
Yes.
In her one of the
yes, I really should have known that, because my mother-in-law used to have a record of it on 78 on her radiogram in Scotland.
Wonderful song, yes. Well, you didn't get it. Dennis, yours isn't a beginning and an ending. It's all beginnings, four of them, one after the other. I want to know, please, who, respectively, do these beginnings belong to?
Thank you.
I enjoyed your dumb show opening title.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
That's all.
Yes, Universal, the first one.
That's
was
right,
with the plane
Universal.
Going round the Silver Globe. Yeah. MGM, the lushness, and all that crumpled velvet in the titles. Warner Brothers, what's up, Doc? And,
is that the one with the chicken?
No,
that's Pathé.
Pathé Gazette.
He used a cue card,
like
you know.
I like the one with the chicken.
And the last one was 20th Century, as it's now known, 20th Century Fox.
20th
in about
Fox,
6 years'
yes.
time, they'll have to seriously consider that name.
The original fanfare, to which another composer added the CinemaScope bit to go on the end.
To stretch it out.
I live in Buckinghamshire in the Chiltern Hills, right underneath the Prime Minister's helicopter route from Downing Street to his country retreat just up the road at Chequers. Often as he flies over my garden, I feel I ought to call out some message, or perhaps better still, sing him a song. Maybe he's singing the song himself as he helicopters over my house. An appropriate song, please, for the occasion. Airborne Prime Minister on his or her way to or from 10 Downing Street. Any suggestions from anywhere, please?
Well, if he's going home to his beloved, then he ought to be singing something from an opera by Bellini called Norma.
Norma, yes. He might, yes. Norma is the face in the misty light.
Or he could be singing Somebody Loves Me.
If he was on his way to Prime Minister's Question Time, well, he would only be sort of humming, but it might have been Me and My Shadow.
I think the whole membership of the Society of Authors would be out in their gardens looking up to the helicopter and shouting VAT on books. Oh, no, John, no, John,
John no.
And if you're down below, I think you should get something from Lonnie, Get Your Gun.
Actually, there's a song he might sing from Follies called I'm Still Here. I feel a gallimaufry coming on. A dictionary of gallimaufry is an absurd medley, it says. Many of the world's greatest popular melodies are in waltz time, and I've put together 8 to form this piano medley. I'll be asking John and Frank to name the first 4, Ian and Dennis the second 4. Just a hint about the first of them. It was the favourite with late night listeners. But I did say was.
Black eyes.
No, before that. Dee-da-dee-da-dee-dum.
There wasn't a before that.
Yes, there was a before that. Yes. Do you know, John? Probably not.
No.
Anybody in the audience know when it was on the air?
Late
night. It was the very end of Radio 4 until they took it off. It's Sailing by Ronald Binge. Then came Frank's Two Lovely Black Eyes. Right. Then, dee-da-dee-dum-ba-dum.
It's the one that goes.
We can sing it, but not name it.
No, right. Santa Lucia.
Santa Lucia.
And then...
The Umbrella Man.
Yes, thank you. Over to the other side with some relief.
Coppelia.
Coppelia. Prelude to Coppelia, yes.
Everybody knew
and then
that.
A little bit of...
A little bit of Sorrento, I guess.
Oh, Sorrento, yes. Yeah. Then one very much for you.
I don't know what the next one was.
No, I don't know what the next one was. What was it?
Cinderella, stay in my arms.
Yes, oh, well done.
Yes, stay in my arms.
Jimmy
I once
Kennedy.
Wrote a parody on that for a cinema organ when I was a cinema manager, and it was written at the time. This is topical humour, biting satire in its moment. It was at the time of Neville Chamberlain. It was called Stay on My Arm, Umbrella.
You didn't last, did you, in that job?
Rory Bremner, yeah.
And the last one, what's it? Oh, what did I play? Yes.
Musetta's
waltz song from Bohème, yes.
The chicken waltz from the
There's an old and much-loved joke among French people about a soldier on sentry duty who challenges someone in the dark. Who goes there? He says, I'm a Frenchman, replies the stranger. Prove it, says the sentry. Sing the second verse of the Marseillaise. I don't know the second verse of the Marseillaise. Pass, Frenchman. Let's see whether you, proud Britishers to a man, can remember the words of the second verse of our national anthem.
Alors, c'est trois rayons de...
Full stop. Second verse of God Save the Queen.
Is that the one about knavish tricks?
Yes, yes.
Frustrate their knavish tricks.
The bit of...
Confound their politics.
Yes. Can we get the first...
God Save the Queen.
I can't remember anymore.
No, it's, oh, Lord our God, arise, scatter her enemies and make them fall. Confound their politics, frustrate their knavish tricks, as you say. On thee our hopes we fix. God save us all.
You're probably equivalent to your story today would be the only people who know it are Australians.
Nice twist, yeah.
Do you know that in the early part of the 18th century, Dr. Pepusch wrote a new national anthem. He didn't like the other one. But it didn't work. Nobody would stand for it. A little joke I put in to lighten the atmosphere.
For many years, I've called these final songs the party pieces when my four colleagues choose a song each to show off their vocal ability. I never know whether to be glad or sorry when we get to this moment. Anyway, the songs, though not in order, are Master Kilby, Laura, After You've Gone, and the little ditty about Faye and Ichabod. Frank, you first.
Which am I?
This is... This is your...
After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying you'll feel blue, you'll feel sad, you'll miss the bestest guy you ever had. There'll come a time, you don't forget it, there'll come a time when you'll regret it. Oh, babe, think what you're doing. You know my love for you will drive me away. After you've gone, after you've gone, the world.
Who said Vaudeville was dead, yes?
It's John who's elected to sing about Master Kilby.
It's a Somerset song.
Oh.
And it's got a very nice penultimate line.
Oh.
In the heat of the day, when the sun shines so, there I met Master Kilby, so fine and so gay. When I pulled off my hat and I bowed to the ground, I said, Master Kilby, pray, where are you bound? I am bound for the west, there in hope to find rest, and in Nancy's soft bosom, I will build a new nest. She's the fairest of girls. She's the choice of my heart. She is painted like waxworks in every part.
My favourite line this week. Lovely, isn't it? Yeah. But, Dennis, tell us the story of Faye and Ichabod. All right.
Fay was going out with such a nice young man. Ichabod Scroggins was his name. He called around to see her twice a week. Then one Sunday when he came, "Look at this, my dear," he said, "a nice surprise, something that will please you right away." But her mum was careful of her reputation, so she had to turn to him and say, "Oh, you have to show it to mother before you can show it to me. Every present that I receive, dear mother has got to see. It makes no difference what it is or how small it may be. You have to show it to dear mama before you can give it to me." By the same man who wrote "If You Were the Only Girl in the World."
I don't know why people think your songs are suggested. Ian's song is a really lovely, gentle gem from 1945. Music by Dave Raxton, words, and what words they are, by Johnny Mercer. Face in the misty light, footsteps that you hear down the hall. It's Laura.
Laura is the face in the misty light, footsteps that you hear down the hall, the love that floats on a summer night that you can never quite recall. And you see Laura on a train that is passing through. Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura, but she's only a dream.
Thank you, Ian. After that memorable score and an unmemorable score, victory this week for John and Frank. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music with John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.